speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
On the thought, holding to God's unchanging hand, based somewhat on the song that's in our hymn book. Time is filled with swift transition. Naught of earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Trust in Him who will not leave you, whatsoever years may bring. If by earthly friends forsaken, still more closely to Him cling. Covet not this world's vain riches that so rapidly decay. Seek to gain the heavenly treasures, they will never pass away. When your journey is completed, if to God you have been true, fair and bright that home in glory your enraptured soul will view. Hold to God's unchanging hand, hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. We pointed out that there are nearly 100 times that the Scriptures speak of the hands of God. And that's a figure of speech when we attribute human characteristics to a spirit being, to our divine heavenly Father. It's a figure of speech called anthropomorphism. And the Bible does that. It speaks not only the hands of God, but the face of God, the hand of the Lord, and the ears of the Lord. That's used in those figures of speech in reference to God. And we want to think about holding to God's unchanging hand and the blessings that He provides us as we hold His hand, the benefits we receive as we hold to His hand, and then the bond we enter into when we hold His hand. We pointed out yesterday that there's the blessing that God gives as we hold His hand of His commitment to His people. And how thankful we can be that God was committed to the nation of Israel. He kept His word. He stood by them, even when they turned their back on Him. And second, there's the blessing of God's compassion upon His people. Indeed, our Lord is a compassionate Lord. He had compassion upon the downtrodden. He lifted up those who were pressed down. And then there is the blessing of the holding to the hand of one who has almighty strength. We think of holding God's hand, we need to be aware of the strength and the power that's in that hand. Isaiah talked about it when in Isaiah 40, he wrote about it in verse 15 all the way through the end of the chapter. And then there's the statement of Jeremiah in Jeremiah 32, verse 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by Thy great power and stretched out arm. There is nothing too hard for Thee. And so it's very important to hold to God's hand. Isaiah 59, verse 1. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your sins have hid His face from you, your iniquities have come between you and your Lord. And then Peter speaks about the mighty hand of God in 1 Peter 5, verse 6, when he says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. What an awesome strength. What a never-ending strength. And how we need to hold to God's unchanging hand. Then finally, there's the blessing of God's concern or God's sympathy. He's not only powerful, but He's a God of concern. 1 Peter 5, verse 7, casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. In John 10, Jesus spoke of the hireling who runs away because he does not care for the sheep. And then the Lord promised, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and am known by my own. And in Luke 12:30, he promised that God knows all of our needs. The psalmist cried out in Psalms 34:15, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, His ears are open unto their cry. And we sometimes sing, does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for myrrh or song? Oh yes, He cares, I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. I know my Savior cares. In fact, over 100 times in God's Word, He speaks of hearing the cries of His people. And God not only hears the cries of His people, He's very deeply sympathetic and concerned about those of His people. In 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 and 4 speaks of that concern. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. The times may get tough, the way may get hard, and there may be falls along the way. Life has an endless supply of hurts, it seems, but God has an outstretched hand to wipe away the tears from our eyes. And many other blessings could be listed. But now let's think about the benefits from holding on to God's hand. I don't believe we could exhaust the list, but I'd like to suggest three benefits from holding to His hand. First one is security. Home security systems are selling like hotcakes. A friend in marketing commented that home security systems are probably getting to be the number one door-to-door selling item. And why? One word, fear. And that little word can turn one's world upside down. Fear comes in all shapes and all sizes. The fear of theft, the fear of a fire, the fear of failure, the fear of the unknown, the fear of being alone, the fear of death, fear of everything. Fear lurks around the corner, but our God is a loving Father, a loving Father of security and assurance of safety. In Isaiah 41, we have a promise, beginning with verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all those who were incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing. In verse 13, for I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. You know, some people put their future in stocks and bonds, and they trust in their bank account, their gold and silver, and their 401ks, and their investments. But there is no human fortress we can build to protect ourselves from fear. God is the only true source of protection. He offers us protection against fear. Some 63 times in the Bible that God's word to His people is, fear not. Now, why is it that we get so upset and worried when God can handle whatever comes? Isn't it because we fail to trust Him? In Psalm 27, verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So there's the benefit of the security the Lord offers. A second benefit by holding to God's hand is protection against failure. There's that familiar passage in Psalms 1, 1 through verse 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of waters that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And with a guarantee and a promise like that, there's protection against failure. But number three in the benefits from holding to God's hand, there's a protection against famine. Psalms 37, verse 25, David said, I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. If you will hold to God's hand, he will carry you through during fearful times. And then there is support, another blessing that comes from holding to God's hand. Remember yesterday when I talked about the elderly man standing by his wife's bedside, gently squeezing her hand when they are facing death together? Well, in the words of her song, when your journey is completed, if to God you have been true, fair and bright the home in glory your enraptured soul will view. God will be with us not only to the bitter end, but he will carry us through to the other side. The psalmist said, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And I don't care how badly you have done or how many times you have failed, he is still there urging you homeward. The beggar in Luke 16 was unknown and unwanted by men. But when the rich man and the beggar both died, it was the beggar Lazarus that was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. But he lifted up his eyes in torments in the flame of the fire where he was. So the Lord, if we will hold his hand, will carry us through to the other side. Most people need a boost. They need someone rooting for them. They need the assurance that someone is behind them. And how wonderful that our Lord has said, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. There's no one who is a better supporter. There's no one who's a better friend. There's no one who's more on your side. And he provides a hand to squeeze when times are tough and when the times are good. He provides strength. He provides help. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, the psalmist says in Psalms 46, verse 1. And he has made promises, and that by two immutable things in which it's impossible for God to lie, we can have hope of encouragement. We have the hope as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth in within the veil, Hebrews 6, 18 and 19. And there's not only the benefits that come from holding to God's hand, but there is a bond we enter into when we take hold of the hand of God. We must not forget the bond. And how do we hold to his hand? We hold his hand in confidence. We've noticed the promises that are made in his word. And in that confidence or in that trust, we believe those promises. We claim those as one of his children to be our blessings. So there must be confidence, and there must be conviction. There must be an assurance of that in which we have confidence. Sadly, our country seems to be drifting. So many people have lost their moral bearings. They've lost their mooring. They no longer seem to know what they believe. We need to be anchored in the Word of God and know what we believe and why we believe it and stand by that belief. Instead of the old adage and the old cop-out, well, I'm still studying that issue. I'm restudying that position. We need to study for sure to show ourselves approved unto God, rightly handling the word of truth, and then have conviction upon that word. And then thirdly, we must accept his correction or discipline when it's needed. We would do well to read God's words in Hebrews 12, 6 through 13, and not only read those words, but remember that God is allowing and bringing into our lives the things needed to mature us and to discipline us. And we must see his love in doing this. Are people around you letting you down? Then take hold of God's hand of commitment. Do you feel unloved and unwanted, uncared for? Then hold to God's hand of compassion. Are you weak and wonder if you're able to go on? Grasp that mighty hand of strength. You feel sad and depressed? Hold to God's hand of sympathy. He extends his hand to you, an outstretched hand, a nail-scarred hand, a hand of love. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Obey his gospel, so you can be one of his children and claim those promises.